smooth sailing, elevation, zero gravitation, traveling all across the nation, moving at the speed of light, so amazing. Any trial and tribulation that we facing, come and take a ride with me, we escaping, to be with the Lord and His creation, and the righteous from all generations. In the scriptures, it's vivid like a painting, the grandest of celebrations, the most momentous occasion, for this I'm patiently waiting.
Ah, we made it to the show. Fantasy Baseball Life. I'm your host here, Starks. You can find me on my Twitter handle. It's at Starks_industry. You can also find me on Instagram, m.starkspal. I'm not here alone this evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you may be in the fantasy world. I have the content legend himself, Micah Henry. How are you doing today, brother?
How's it going, man? I'm doing well. I mean, despite, you know, whatever what's going on in this world, I'm in good spirit. I'm trying to, you know, stay calm, stay at peace, and keep, you know, fantasy baseball alive, most of, you know, unfortunately.
For sure, man. We're trying to keep things alive in the fantasy baseball community and sports in particular. Mm-hmm. It is Sunday. Happy Resurrection Day to all of those. Mm-hmm. Easter, that is, as well, to all you guys or faith believers. If you're not, it's okay. We hope we can invite you into that space, too. You can always feel free to reach out to us in that space, because I understand that's kind of a borderline. What am I trying to say? It's a private thing. I get it. But I just wanted to let you guys know we do like to share the faith here. But again, if you guys haven't checked out our site, make sure you do, newlifefantasy.com. Join the mailing list. Join as a member for free. Also, make sure you guys subscribe to this podcast. If you have iTunes, go ahead and review it and give us a 5-star rating. Fantasy Baseball Life, we are available in pretty much all podcast formats, so make sure you check that out. And particular, I was going to say, this episode, what we're going to talk about, we're going to jump and touch up on the Philadelphia Phillies pitching rotation, and as well as we're going to talk about a few players that we consider undervalued in your fantasy drafts this season, and as well as we'll touch up a little bit on my article that I wrote on Garrett Hampson. So with that said, if you guys, make sure you check out Micah's article on first baseman. He's got the tiers laid out. Please check that out on newlifefantasy.com and solid. So let's go ahead and get this episode started. I'll go ahead and pitch you the ball there, Micah. So I know you're from Philadelphia as well, so it only makes sense for you to talk about the Philadelphia rotation and what's your thoughts about it, man.
Yeah, that's honestly why I want to talk about that. I love, you know, I love my Phillies, Phillies Nation. Like, that's my team. And since I don't call it, you know, I hopped on the bandwagon, but since 2008, since won the World Series, that's when I got, you know, awake to baseball personally, and that's, you know, when I started being a fan of the Phillies. So that's when I caught on to my love of baseball. They helped. So, yeah, and in regards to the Phillies now, the rotation right now, we have Wheeler, Nola, Arrieta, Eflin, and Pivetta. That's Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Jake Arrieta, Zach Eflin, and Nick Pivetta are the supposed, you know, five guys who are going to be there on whenever opening day is, if we have one this season. Vince Velasquez, he's probably in competition with Pivetta, but I think Pivetta has, you know, the edge on him. Mm-hmm. And over, as a whole, the Zach Wheeler signing really does give this rotation what it needed, because that last year really was just Nola, and then kind of just a drop off in talent as a whole. Wheeler gives like the rotation a little more glue to let the younger guys, you know, keep developing, maybe inch out or juice out whatever we can from a area and whatever else he has left in the team. That's what I think, just from a, you know, from a straight standpoint in regards to the rotation and what we can expect from this year.
Yes, so I was going to say, like, yeah, just like how you mentioned, it could be Nick Pivetta, or it could be, like, Vincent Velasquez that's, like, the shoe-in for that rotation. But I remember last year, I don't know if you remember as well, there was, like, some under-the-radar sleeper talk that Nick Pivetta was going to be, like, a pretty good rotation piece in Philadelphia. Obviously, last year, he had a very putrid season. And wasn't really good at all. I mean, his ERA was very high at 5.38. His WHIP was 1.49. He was just really bad. But there were some moments that he looked like the sleeper that a lot of people had mentioned, or even before the season started. So I remember when he went against Cincinnati, when he, I think he pitched 9 innings and 6 Ks, and he only had, gave up 1 earned run. I think it was a complete game. So there, I mean, that was only one game, but there was some glimmer of light after that game, and a lot of people rushed out in the free agency or the waiver wire to pick him up. But it came with, unfortunately, like, it was like, oh man, maybe he's coming back, but no, he started pitching bad again. So if there's anything, he had 2 games back-to-back. So it was against the Dodgers, right? When he had 9 Ks, and that was on June the 2nd with 6 innings. And then after that was the Cincinnati game. So let me just preface a little bit back on that. So he had 2 solid games. So a lot of people, even including myself, I was like, well, I can pick him up. If he doesn't last, that's fine. But I know in a lot of drafts, he was drafted as a back end, like a 4th, 5th pitcher on your bench or a starter. Mm-hmm. But he just didn't do anything else, because after that 9 innings game against Cincinnati, he went against the Braves and he gave up 4 runs and he gave up a lot of hits, 8 hits, ERA of 5. And then the game after that, Washington destroyed him, giving up 6 runs. You know, there's a lot of things that might not have been 6 runs, but he gave up several runs in that game, 5 runs. His ERA that game was 7.94. So I was just like, it's always going to be a lot of inconsistencies with him. So maybe that's why they're not going to trust Pivetta at this point in time. But like you said, it could be Pivetta. It could be Vince Velasquez. Velasquez is an interesting player too. But I just wanted to at least pitch you the ball on, what's your thoughts on Jake Arrieta? Because I know he was once a stud a few years ago in Chicago.
Yeah, Arrieta's had a roller coaster career, you know. I think he was with the O's, the Orioles. It's the start of his career. I think I'm right about that. And then he went to the Cubs, and that's when he that's when he became like quote unquote an ace for a couple years. I mean, he was the guy. I had him when he was I think I picked him up the year he had one of my leagues when he had his crazy breakout, and that was pretty exciting.
Wow.
And I thought, I was like, oh yeah, this guy's the next, I was pretty high on him. But then like it's been a slow but noticeable decline, after that, Cy Young season, whatever you want to call it. And it was just like, I don't know. You could call it age, but at the same time, he's predictable in what he, in how he pitches. And I don't know. He's getting worse over the years. You can't really, at this point, he's kind of just like a rotation filler, a starting pitcher, four or three, just to keep that, position there and give us like a 4.0 ERA for the season, and just make sure he doesn't implode. It's just a guy that's gonna hold the glue together for now. Next season I have no idea what's gonna hold, but whenever baseball resumes again, he can just be serviceable for us.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the new addition of Zach Wheeler this season for Philadelphia?
I love Zach Wheeler, man. He last year, his problem was is really his, a lot of Mets problems I noticed in general are their use of these 97, 98, 99 mile power two seam fastball sinkers, whatever you want to call them, and they're getting smashed around, hit around. I don't know if that has anything to do with the Mets coaching, but Syndergaard and Wheeler both suffered from this. So I have to look more into that. But in regards to Wheeler in general, I think the Phillies, pitching coaching staff could help him find what was going wrong last year, because something was definitely wrong. He has the stuff, but it just wasn't showing last year.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can figure it out.
Yeah, I actually like Zach Wheeler too. I know he was a touted prospect a few years ago when, what's the Dark Knight? What do they call him? Matt Harvey. A few years ago, actually, I can't even say a few years ago, several years ago, when they were supposed to be like a tandem, obviously, with Thor and DeGrom. It's just unfortunate that Matt Harvey, I don't want to get into that situation with Matt Harvey, but, I will say that as far as Wheeler goes, I think he has a little bit of a better season, obviously, with Philadelphia. He's got good offense to back him up to get you some more wins potentially. Maybe hopefully he gets above the 13 to 14 win season. That would be nice to see. if you guys are playing in win leagues. I know there's some that will play in quality starts or win leagues. And I think for me, before I put my input on that, would you rather, if you're like in any league that you play in, if you're in like a head-to-head league, would you rather play a quality start for pitchers, or would you rather do wins for pitchers?
Personally, I'd rather do quality starts.
Okay. And what's only, the reason behind
it? Only because wins are really just to put it in short, wins are a team stat. It's a team, you know, a team achievement stat. You're not gonna get wins from simply just a pitcher pitching a nine inning complete game. Because to get to that nine inning complete game, his defense has to make plays left and right. So it's like it's always a team effort to get the win, regardless of how it happens. It's not one player. So and quality starts gives it gives credit to the guys that throw say a 7-inning 3-earned-run 12 strikeout loss. That's ridiculous. That should not be rewarded. 12 strikeouts is that's elite. So I'm definitely a fan of quality starts as opposed to W's. You don't see quality starts gaining much ground in the at least I don't see them gaining much ground in the leagues I play in, but I think they definitely should.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think quality starts, kind of like what you said, is, I'm not going to say wins are fluky, but, I mean, there's good pitchers on bad teams, and I think we believe it's only fair for those pitchers to get that quality start, especially if you're going 6-plus innings with, like, 3, earned runs or less, and like you said, like the 12 – you might throw up like 12 Ks in a game. So that is very useful to have for a quality start. Because you can get wins from pitchers like, you might pitch for like 5 or 6 innings, right? Or excuse me, like 5 innings and give up like 5 runs, but you can still get a win. And that's always kind of, to me, that's where it gets a little fluky. Now, I think Aaron Nola, is Nola going to be the opening day starter for Philadelphia?
Definitely. I think it'll definitely be opening day. I mean, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if Wheeler was the opening day starter, but I think it definitely will be Nola.
Yeah, I remember getting Nola a few years ago from the waiver wire, and he was really good, man. That year, and then I think like last year, he had some hiccups here and there the last couple years. But what's your thoughts on Aaron Nola this year? Do you think he plays a little bit better this year or relatively the same last year?
Well, 2019 was just overall. It was obviously not what we expected after just 2018 season, which he was pretty dominant like the entire year. And I think I wrote about this or typed about this earlier on Twitter, and I said Nola's 2019 season was basically like his what you'll like the worst you'll get. I think that's about Maybe I think it was because it's hard to get worse than he was with the talent that he has. So I think that's just about how bad it gets. Then the 2018 season was that's about as good as it gets. So I think the Nola we'll see from 2020 on is somewhere in between his 2019 and 2018 seasons. He'll be good, but I don't think he'll be an ace unless he fixes some things. But I think he'll be somewhere in between those seasons.
Okay, so do you think he's okay? So if you were drafting in a league, and I know we're more of a dynasty podcast, but we we like to expand on pretty much like a 5x5 points leagues, rotisserie, however whatever league you play in. Mm-hmm. But let's just think of this as a 1-year league, and you were trying to draft a solid hitters, but you would try to get maybe your ace. So you say you don't maybe really consider him maybe like an ace on a fantasy team. Is he like more of a number 2 pitcher on your fantasy team, or what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. I think he's more of a your starting pitcher too, that guy that's like, going to be the best, help back up whoever's your starting pitcher one. And yeah, that's where I think he should be placed on your fantasy team.
Nice. Yeah, and I mean, Aaron Nola, it's kind of crazy. I feel like I faded him. It's not because I purposely faded him in like all the drafts that I was in, but I don't know, man. I'm looking at other pitchers. I like Nola. Don't get me wrong. I think it's maybe his value where he's at. But maybe he should be, like you said, it should be better this year for sure compared to last year. But last year wasn't a bad season at all. Mm-hmm. But one more pitcher I definitely want to talk about from the starters.
And I want to say one thing about Nola real quick. Sorry to interrupt you. But no, go ahead. I just want to say for Roto Leagues, Nola is probably a better pitcher if you're looking for strikeouts, because he did have 220 plus strikeouts in 2+ seasons. So he's creating a floor for his strikeouts. So if you're going for, you know, strikeouts and upside with ERA and stuff like that, I'd say Nola is probably a better pick in Roto than in points, because points leagues, like last year, he was a little more prone to blown ups and inconsistencies. But like I said before, I think he'll be somewhere in between that 2019 3.87 ERA and that 18 2.73 ERA, which is probably around as good as it's going to get. Yeah, that's all I want to say. Sorry for interrupting.
No. Oh, you go cut me off at any time. I was going to also say, too, like, man, if he can give that 2018 season, like, when his whip was under one, like, my goodness. Like, that would be a steal where he's even – like, even though I feel like his value is, like – I think it's about the right spot in leagues, but I guess I'm just a little skeptical, just a little bit. But if he could somehow return to at least the 2018 type of – season, that's a steal. But like you said, if you are depending on what league you are in, I mean, he had 229 strikeouts, like you said, and then he's giving you the innings, so that matters. So I wanted to ask you on Zach Eflin. How do you feel about him in the projection as a starter this year in the rotation with the Phillies?
I think Zach Eflin went like the start of last year. He had some he had complete games or something like he had a good start. I think that was. I was like, I think I had him in a couple of fantasy teams of mine, and I was like, okay, maybe we have something here. Then over time, he just kind of phased out. I don't have the numbers up just yet, but he's 26 years old. You know, he's a big guy, 6'6", and despite he has a good rotation. I mean, I'm sorry, not a good rotation, a good pitching arsenal. He had a four-seamer, slider, sinker, changeup, curveball. And a cutter that he barely uses. So he has an interesting deep rotation that probably allows him, the ability to pitch deeper into games using his, using different pitches to mix up his results. But his inconsistencies are really going to, mess up his development. And I don't know. He's not a guy I'm going to throw out there as my, starting pitcher 2, starting pitcher 3 for any fantasy team that I'm in. Maybe not even starting pitcher 4 or 5. He's more of just, a guy I'll have on my bench in case he figures it out and gets, stuff together. And in real life, he'll probably be, in the Phillies rotation at starting pitcher, one. And I'm sorry, not pitcher 1. Starting pitcher 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. But even if he starts, to do worse, I think there's a chance that he'll get kicked out of the rotation. So I think he just needs to be acceptable to stay in the rotation for now until we get somebody, that's going to be better. And we have guys in the minors that are coming up that should, over time, probably take over his spot if he doesn't help out. So we'll see what happens with that guy. You could say I'm a fan, but I'm not confident that he'll be consistent enough, Even though, I like the guy, last year was just kind of hard to watch at times,
No, you know what's crazy is I had him. I picked him up from the waiver wire in one of my shallow leagues, and he, like you said, he started out hot. Like the first couple of games, he did well against Washington with 9 Ks, right? And then Minnesota the week after that did well. But like you said, it was kind of like a roller coaster ride because the next 3 games he did bad. But then he bounced back again and did well against Washington, and Miami, and then Kansas City Royals. Like those three games in a row again, and then he got putrid again, like 3 bad games. So you're getting a lot of inconsistencies. And then after that inconsistencies, he got more consistent at being bad, after. But I will say this. If there was any glimmer of light, the last 3 games of the season last year, it wasn't good. But there was a little bit of hints of maybe he calmed down a little bit and he played a tad bit better because against my team, Atlanta, we'll probably have to do that next week. We'll probably talk about the rotations. But he did good. He did good against Atlanta. 7 innings pitched, 4 strikeouts. And he only gave up. He didn't give up actually no run, any earned runs. So he had a really good game in that sense. But the week after that, he played against Washington. He got obliterated. He just got destroyed. So it's like we figured the inconsistency. But the last game of the season, if there's any glimmer of light. But needless to say, it was Miami. So you can't really take that all with the, you know, it's just a grain of salt. So he almost pitched 8 innings, 6 strikeouts. He gave up 3 runs. But I don't know if they are going to, like you said, he's 26 years old, so he's still young. But you guys have players that can still take that rotation spot. So it's really interesting over there, Philadelphia. You guys got some interesting situations in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's like it's a top end, you know, type rotation. It's one of those rotations you see, you know, the first two guys, and then the rest of the guys just kind of throw in names that are going to be serviceable for you and will help you win some games. They'll get, you know, blown up in other games. It's just, you know, what you have to honestly, realistically expect, unfortunately. Until guys like, of course, Spencer Howard come up, and then we have some, you know, then we have something working. We can, you know, put guys in there, you know, take guys out. Until that happens, we'll be dealing with some serviceable pitchers in the back end in 3, 4, 5 spots of the rotation.
For sure. So we'll go ahead and get to we'll transition to a couple of players that we might think is getting undervalued this year in fantasy. Did you have anybody that you want to bring up to the plate that you feel is undervalued this year?
Yeah, I want to go with a hitter and a pitcher first, but I'll start with my my pitcher. I'm gonna go with Giolito. Giolito, he's not really going where I expect him to go. People kind of like let him go and drift, I'd say, into the 5th or 6th round. And I think he's an ace. He's a fan. Like last year, his strikeout rate went from, what was it, 16.0, something like that, to 32.0. I forget what the exact numbers was, but it basically doubled. And like, not just that, everything about his game got better. And this is a guy who was a top prospect a few years ago before he had, you know, years of development. And he's one of those guys that goes through this time in which you're a top prospect. You know, the hype is there. Then you struggle for a season or two for whatever reason. And then, you know, you maybe struggle, you know, stay there for a few more years. And that happened with Giolito. And he struggled and struggled. And then, boom, he has his breakout season. And then it's like, you're like, all right, should I believe it? Should I not believe it? But if you really have to dig into the numbers here, and when I did, you know, when I saw, you know, how good his fastball was, you know, 2.12 XBA, and his changeup and slider all had a XBA less than 2.28. So these are pitches that are not allowing a lot of hits, and he has a 4-pitch arsenal that he can develop. I mean, that he has developed. It's taken a while. It's taken a lot of, you know, a lot of hiccups, a lot of people doubting him. But he's at the point in his career where you should start to believe that this is a top prospect who's found his, you know, found his mojo, basically. So I think in regards to where he's going in drafts, he really should. I'm not taking him in the 4th or 3rd round because that's not, you know, that's not value. That's not where guys are taking him. Mm-hmm. But I'd say by next year or like another 200 inning pitch from him on the major league level, he's going to be in the 2nd, 3rd round easily. He'll be right there at Bieber, you know, Flaherty, Walker Buehrle, all those guys. So you can say I'm pretty high on Giolito for the rest of his career at this point.
You know, it's funny. I remember I forgot. It was years ago and I felt like I was wrong, but now I'm starting to look a little bit better now. Years ago, like you said, when he was a touted prospect, I was like, man, this guy's going to be next coming. I forgot who was the solid pitcher that everybody was talking about. I forgot who it was a few years ago, man. Oh, it might have been Blake's. No, it wasn't Blake's. No, it was someone else. And I was like, man, Lucas Giolito, whenever he comes out, this dude is going to be an ace. And I was looking bad for years, literally, because it's like, oh, man, every time he's pitched, he just made me look bad. But obviously last year was his best season, clearly. 228 strikeouts in 176 innings, just outrageous. And his whip was at 1.06. His last game before, you know, the season ended last year, he had 12 strikeouts against the Royals. Just outrageous. And that was only in 6 innings. And that game was also bad that he had. I wouldn't say bad, but he gave up 5 earned runs. But the beautiful thing about it was they still let him pitch and he still got 12 Ks. Mm.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think.
He was available in a lot of waiver wires last year. Unfortunately, I was not able to pick him up in any. Did you have him in any leagues last year, Ryan?
Giolito, I wasn't able to pick him up in any leagues, but I definitely witnessed what was going on. I was following him pretty heavy. Okay. I don't think I have any shares of him in any dynasty, any keeper, nothing. So it's just, he's just kind of, you know, a guy I had to follow, you know, just through actually researching him. But I'm a big fan as of right now. I wish I had shares of him.
This might be the first year I have shares of him. That's funny that you brought him up, because I actually had a draft in this. This is like a keeper league. You keep three players, and it's a 10-man shallow league. But I was able to get, weirdly, Mike Trout and Christian Yelich on the team. But the pitchers, it was a struggle because the starters that I have, like, I think it's important to have pitchers in any league, right? So I have, like, whoever I'm going to keep is going to be hard. Maybe you can help me out. Chris Paddock, Jack Flaherty, Lizardo, Castillo, Lucas Giolito. So, like, I'm stuck between them. Who should I keep out of those pitchers? Like, at least one pitcher.
Out of those five guys, exactly?
Yeah, so it's Chris Paddock, Flaherty, Lizardo, Castillo, and Giolito.
That's one of those, what do you call it? A good, bad problem. It's kind of not really a wrong choice. It's kind of hard to mess up. But at the same time, you want to get it exactly right.
Yeah.
Man. Personally, I'm a big fan of Flaherty. I think he'll be an ace in time. He showcased it in the second half last season, and that I think that's going to be his norm in a few years, whenever that comes. But for now, I think Flaherty is a guy just trying to figure it out. I think last year is the last year we'll see him, you know, in like an inconsistent realm, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I was going to say just this on top of that real quick before we get off of that. I mean, I have to keep Yelich and Trout. You know, I can't hoard all these players, but I think it makes sense to see what Flaherty does. He was obviously a higher pitching guy for the draft this season. But I'll transition into a player that I think is a little undervalued this season. And I think we talked about him a few episodes ago, but I think it only makes sense to talk about him again. And it's the Dodgers, Corey Seager. I think he's undervalued in a lot of leagues this year. Shortstops, I mean, he didn't get over 500 at-bats last year. So he was under 500 at-bats, had 19 home runs, you know, and maybe you're thinking there's nothing that sticks out. But one thing that sticks out to me is if you are playing in a 5x5 league, even in those at-bats, he was still reaching the means of the runs and RBI production, 82 runs and 87 RBIs. So with the Dodgers getting more high-octane offense with the additions of Mookie Betts and the gang, right? And we can maybe expect him to potentially get more RBIs in a sense, or even more runs. I think the power is going to be a little bit higher in a sense. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying he's going to be a 30 home run guy, but I think 25 – around the 23 to 25 plus range. I think if he can get around that range, I think that's a steal for a shortstop. And maybe we can expect his batting average to come up, because even like last year, he was starting to really cook batting at the five spot the last game against San Francisco. And this was at San Francisco. If you guys know, San Francisco is not really a hitter's park, but he was starting to be a man among boys. Hit a home run in one of those three games that they played in San Francisco. And I just hope better days are to come for him. But I think in Yahoo, where he's being drafted, let me look at his range. His ADP range is at 105. I honestly feel like his range should be more in the 80s range. So I think you're cutting coupons in that space. Corey Seager, I like him. And I know some people might even decide to take Carlos Correa, which I really love, but we know about the Astros. But Carlos Correa's values also, you know, came down, which is fair too. I think you're probably cutting a coupon with him. Any thoughts on Corey Seager there, Micah?
Yeah, I want to, as you were talking about, you know, his last few games, he was really balling out, having a good, you know, showing what he could do. Because in September, he hit 291. And then I think that was his highest average in any month in the season. He was really, you know, hitting 250, 255, you know, not – except for June. I'm sorry. June, he went a little crazy. He hit 425. But so he was bouncing back and forth between good and bad months. Yeah. But so that, I mean, that alone could indicate that this is a guy, you know, still trying to find his stride, try to find what works for him, you know, month to month to month, and become a consistent player. And when he does become that guy, I think he's gonna be 30 home run hitter, 100 RBIs, 100 runs, chip in maybe a steal or two. Mm-hmm. But he'll in time, I think he will reach his potential. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, the last month of the season, I'm glad you brought up the hot streak that he had. He was getting RBIs out of this world. 26 RBIs in 25 games. So he was literally hitting an RBI every game on average. That's just outrageous, right? And then 7 home runs, 287 average at that time span in 25 games. And he was giving you, if you were in a 5x5 category league, he was giving you second to third round value, right, in that little month stretch. So hopefully things are picking up. He's getting his strength back up, you know, if we have a season. But, yeah, I definitely like Corey Seager this year. I'll go ahead and throw you the ball there, Micah, for the last player you think is being undervalued this season.
Yeah, another guy. I have a couple shares of this guy. He broke out last year, Ketel Marte, and I just think a lot of people are just thinking, you know, it's kind of like a bloop in the radar because he wasn't really much of a power hitter before last season, you know, hitting 32 home runs after not hitting, you know, more than 20 a lot. It's not really, you know, people don't think it's repeatable, in short. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, everything changed for him, you know. He hit the ball better. He hit the ball harder. What's it called? His exit velocity went to 89.8. His launch angle increased. His walk percentage was 88.4. Strikeout percentage 13.7. His hard hit rate increased to 40.0. Everything. His barrel percentage increased to 9.3. Everything kind of just got better. You know, he got because this was a guy who had good play discipline before this. So, you know. And as I said before, I don't know if you guys have heard me say this before, but guys, I think that have good placement early in their career and that demonstrated consistently have a better chance of being, you know, a good hitter when they get, you know, when they develop in their career, have a better chance. It doesn't always happen, but it's a better chance that it does happen. And with Ketel Marte, I think it's exactly what's happening. You know, and I think he's a guy that you really should take seriously because you're not going to see guys with just, you know, with good play discipline and power, you know, going into fourth, fifth rounds every day. That's a guy that should be going in the third round, I think, consistently. But I think it's going to take one more year just for him to prove it. And then after that, we'll be able to be like, okay, this guy's for real. This guy's a real deal. But, I mean, at that point, his value's already up, so he kind of missed out on the bargain. But that's a guy I think you should really be taking seriously. Ketel Marte.
That's a good one because this one, I think this is the, like you kind of said, for me, it's going to I need another year from him and I'm probably going to miss out. Like, it's probably too late for me because do I think the season that he had was an outlier season? Low key, I honestly do. But just like the stats you had mentioned, I mean, there's indications to show he's a really legitimate hitter. 32 home runs last year with 10 stolen bases out of Arizona. Now, we know Arizona, they supposedly put the humidor in there. But I still consider it a hitter's park, right? But the RBIs, the 92 and the runs, 97, this guy, he's a potential stud. But for me, I still stand that I have to see another year from him for me to be full in, especially with that 329 batting average. He had an excellent season. And I think for me, in the shallow league that I was in last year, I just kept looking at him. Right. In the waiver wire, like, I don't know. You know, I kept playing that danger game. Like, I don't know before it was too late. And it was too late. But this year, if he does, like, similarities of what he did last year with these type of stats, then that's when I'd be sold. But as of right now, I'm not there yet. But maybe he changes my mind during the season. But we will go ahead and I think that's pretty much all the players that we have on slate here today. if you guys haven't checked, I guess I was going to just talk about the article real quick. And if Micah wanted to ask me any questions about it, feel free. So I wrote an article on Garrett Hampson. And I know there's going to be a lot of people to be like, so the question was, should there be a breakout season from Garrett Hampson? I'll go ahead and share to, you know, some of the people that listen to the podcast versus actually reading, which is perfectly fine. I think I'm just taking a bold take that I think he could have a breakout season this year. Now, in a dynasty format, I'd like to have him because of the speed potential that he has. There's not a lot of speed available in fantasy baseball. The stolen bases is a rare category. If you play in 5x5, you need that. And in a sense, I know the question is like, well, how's he going to find playing time? You know, you got Ryan McMahon ahead of him. You got the touted prospect that's been kind of hurt in a sense. What's his name? Brendan Rodgers. Like, he's up on, he's coming up, right? And then, you know, so how's he going to find time? So one of the things I've mentioned in this article is that I understand, like, last year there was some sleeper appeal with him between him and Ryan McMahon. And I also know that he had all the opportunity in the world to flourish. And that first month, I think it was in April of last year, he really crapped the bed. He didn't do good. He struggled like a rookie should, but McMahon had a better year. And I think it's fair to say Ryan McMahon cemented himself to play second base. Cause Ryan McMahon, I love Ryan McMahon, by the way, he's a good hitter. But the month that I always pay attention to, and I think people kind of forget, in fantasy baseball, the thing about me is I look at if there's any strong indication for me to start looking at players in a more deep way, I look at the last month of the season. You can't let that be the end-all, be-all. I get it. But players like Luke Voit, like a few years ago, was a guy that I was considered a sleeper last year. And he was good until he got hurt. And the season prior before that, Luke Voit was a solid player. This is the same thing with – okay, it's obviously two different things because the situation is more a grayer area, but this is the reason why I think that Garrett Hampson could potentially get more at-bats because he doesn't just play the second base. He has eligibility that he plays a little bit of the outfield that he did last year. He played 33 games in the outfield last season, so he could be a hyper-utility position type of player. For the Rockies. Now, obviously with this quarantine stuff, maybe all the MLB teams don't play at their home stadiums. So maybe that's where it's going to hurt him if they don't play in Colorado. I think the report was mentioned they might play in a certain location like Arizona or something like that if they play MLB this year. But if they did play in Colorado, obviously we know his stats would be increased. But the reason why I think he can get more at-bats is because as much as I love David Dahl too, but when has David Dahl played a healthy season? That's number one. Tapia is okay, but I don't think he's the answer there. The outfield, you got the rumors of Nolan Arenado that could still be, you know, to a different team, right? And then there's also Daniel Murphy. I know he plays first base, and I know Arenado plays third base also. But again, Garrett Hampson's a utility guy. But going back to Daniel Murphy, he's 35 years old. So he's still probably a good hitter. But regression has been coming his way. So this is just a few outlines that I think that can open up the opportunity for Garrett Hampson, especially what he did the last month when he had opportunity last year. Did you have any thoughts on that there, Michael?
Yeah. Garrett Hampson, the skills are there, as you said. And I wanted to bring up, you know, this part of your article, the last part where you talked about his September, where he just was kind of a 5x5 top 20, top 18 hitter.
Yeah.
And, that's what we will see in time whenever he can get that playing time, whenever he can stay on the field for, you know, 500, 600 plate appearances. Mm-hmm. We'll see, you know, a legitimate 20 guy who will hit, you know, maybe 270, 280, 290, 300. So we'll see if that happens. But in regards to Mick Mahoon, I don't think he's going anywhere. And that's, and then Brendan Rodgers being right there, I think to get these guys playing time in the major leagues, somebody's going to have to go to another team at it in some way, somehow. You know what I mean? Sure. It's going to be one of those situations. I don't know who it's going to be yet, but somebody is going to leave. And I don't think it's going to be Mahoon, only because this guy, he can hit breaking balls already. And I think last year he had a 287 average versus breaking balls. And then he hit 247 versus fastballs. So this guy who had, you know, struggles versus fastballs, and that's not going to last. You know, that's not really sustainable for most hitters, and that's going to change. Mm-hmm. And he has an easier path, you know, being an elite producer. So, yeah, I mean, I love Hampson, but he might be that guy that ends up, you know, on another team. But, you know, then balls out for them, as it always happens.
Yeah, it could definitely be a tough situation for him. But the simple toe tap is what made him more comfortable to be able to swing, you know, do the free swinging inside like pitches where he was able to put more contact on the ball. The batting average in that month of 318, 5 home runs and 9 steals, it was just outrageous. Like you had mentioned, top 18 hitter baseball in 5x5 league. So it is, like you said, I'm going to be honest, it's a stretch for him to break out this season, but I'm just going to be bold and say that he does. And if you have him in a dynasty format, I think in a deep dynasty format, you're going to hold him and hope for the best, man.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to go ahead and get to the closing pitch. So I guess the closing pitch that I have is there was some little bit of recent news that I know your boy, Ewan Jacobs' boy, actually I like Max Muncy too. But it was said that he's worked to improve against the off-speed pitches. So if he's working on that, just imagine what he could do, you know, this season. So I like to see what the Dodgers do. They're loaded. If there's an MLB season this year, they're going to be loaded. But that's my closing pitch. What's your pitch, man?
I'm be honest. I didn't really think about closing pitch today, but I just want to talk about just off the spot, just, you know, staying, you know, relaxed, calm, staying in the, for, you know, just being in general, just, you know, in regards to life right now. Yeah. Just staying, you know, at peace right now, even though stuff is crazy, that's really important just so we can, you know, get past this time and then eventually, you know, get back to life, return back to whatever we want to call normal. That's, you know, I want to keep it simple for today, but I think it's important to really embrace that thing, that concept
for sure. All right, listeners, well, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you guys. Be safe. Enjoy this resurrection day and Easter with your loved ones, and if you're unable to travel to see your loved ones, which we can understand too, just still communicate with them in any way, shape or form. So love you, listeners, so much. God bless you. Have a good evening, morning and afternoon, and take that last picture.